John chapter 2 in your Scofield Bible, page 1116. Page 1116. We'll be reading the first 10 verses of the second chapter of John, and we'll read the verses responsively. The fifth verse of this passage is the text verse. May we stand together, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this hour. We pray for your blessing upon our hearts, our minds. Help us to concentrate now our attention upon the preaching of thy word. There's certainly nothing more important going on right now in all the world than is going on now and during the preaching hour. And we pray for the attention of the people and thy power upon the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's a strange story. There's a wedding in Cana of Galilee. This is the setting for the first miracle performed by our Lord in his earthly body. The other day I was in a bookstore. I always try to find old books if I can. Especially old books of great preachers and sermons and biographies. I picked up an old book and began to read it. I found out they had liberals back in those days, too. The fellow said concerning this particular story of the wedding, he said this was probably the wedding of Jesus. He said Jesus is probably getting married here. I wanted to take a handful of fire and brimstone and throw it in his face. But I didn't have to. He already had it there. It's an old book. He's already where the fire and brimstone is. And I'm not glad he is. But you say, well, how do you only have love for everybody? Well, I work on that, but I have an awful hard time having love for folks who call my Savior an illegitimate child. An awful hard time. Awful hard time. Say, do you succeed? I'm getting better. Which I think is the same thing as backsliding. But there's a wedding here. No, it's not the wedding of Jesus. Jesus and the disciples went to the wedding. And as they were serving the refreshments, perhaps reception, they ran out of wine. No, this is not intoxicating beverage. Wine in the Bible means fruit of the vine. It means the juice from the grape. It may be fermented. It may not be fermented. But when the Bible says wine is a mocker, I doubt the author of that Bible is going to serve it at a wedding. And so the entire tenor of the Bible is that fermented wine is wrong. So they had some grape juice they were serving at this wedding, and they ran out of it. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, comes up and she says, Simply, they have no wine. Now, first thing I want to say, she knew where to go. She knew where to go. Brother, if you want something, go to the giver. We read this morning, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, or with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, she went to Jesus, and she said to him, they have no wine. Jesus shocks us when he looks at her and he says to his own mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I wish I had an hour to preach on that. But I'll just bypass it and come back some other day. Now, his mother doesn't say a word back to him. She just turns to the others and she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now look at me and watch me carefully. I think, and I've checked it, and studied it, and I've read every commentary I get my hands on, everybody's opinion that I respect and admire, and I'm convinced that the statement she made was one of bewilderment. Now, Amy Brown, glad to see you back in the service. Just saw you sitting there. She said, it's one of bewilderment. See, she had said to Jesus, they have no wine. And he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? And she turns to them and says, and this is the way I think she said it, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. I think she's saying, I don't understand him either. I cannot make him out. He's way over my head. Don't try to figure him out. Just do what he said. That's all. Do what he said. She says, I don't understand him. I reared the guy. Can you imagine how tough it must have been to rear Jesus? Man alive. I mean, my mama reared nearly a perfect kid. Think how much hard it must have been for Mary. I just revealed my total depravity then, didn't I? But I mean, can you imagine how hard it was to rear Jesus? Maybe she lost her temper. And he quoted the scripture. Now, what she said is this. She said, look, fellas, you think you don't understand him. I reared the guy. You see, Mary was normal. She was up just like you and I. Mary got frustrated. Why? In fact, when Jesus left them when he's 12 years old, and they finally found him, Mary said to Jesus in stern rebuke, she said, your father and I have sought thee. Where you been? And Jesus said, don't you know, I must be about my father's business. How's like that for an answer? I mean, your kid comes in late. 12-year-old kid comes in late. And you said, where you been? He says, know ye not that I must be about my father's business? Why, I know what Mary wanted to do. She wanted to slap the fire out of him. I mean, look, she was human and normal, if there's such a thing as a normal woman. That's preaching, ain't it? All you guys sitting without your wives, amen, amen. And those don't have wives, amen, amen. But now, look. She said, I don't understand him either. You think you don't understand him? You just met him. I've known him 30 years. I can't figure him out, but I want to tell you something. There's something about this fella that whatever he does, it turns out right. I mean, I knew him when he was a boy, and he did some strange things, but always turned out right. I knew him as an adolescent, and the truth is, he never was like anybody else, and I didn't quite understand him, and I still don't figure him out, but I want to tell you something. He never has done anything yet, didn't turn out right, and now what you ought to do is doubt him? You want to? I doubt him. Wonder if you want to? I wonder. Try to figure him out and fail? I try to figure him out and fail. I don't understand him either. But I know one thing. Do what he says. Do what he says. It's gonna turn out okay. Look, I've never understood him. But he knows what he's doing. I've never comprehended. And aren't you glad you can't understand him? I'd hate to have a God I could figure. But she said, I just do what he says. Don't try to figure him out. Said, look, I've never understood him, but he knows what he's doing. And, fellas, if you'll trust his mama, who's confused as you are, look, just then, I said, they have no wine. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, I do not know why he said that to me, but I know it's going to be okay. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And we know that all things work together for good to those of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do what he says. Do what he says. He says to tithe, tithe. He says to go to church faithfully, go to church faithfully. He says to go soul winning, go soul winning. If you want things to turn out okay, you do what he says to do. Just do what he says. Now, I can hear one ask, what does he want us to do? She said, never mind. Don't decide after he tells you what to do, you're going to do it. Decide before he tells you what to do, you're going to do it. Don't put your trust in his commandment, put your trust in him. Don't put your trust in his orders, put your trust in him. I mean, decide now. Now look, if you wait till he tells you what to do, he's going to tell you something's going to sound like a concocted idea to you and you won't do it. But decide now that whatever he tells you you ought to do, you'll do it. And I guarantee you, I've known him 30 years. I reared him. I cradled him. I held him in my arms. I carried him in my womb. I fed him. I told him, I instructed him, I took him to the synagogue, I know what I'm talking, I cleaned his house, I cooked his food, I washed his dishes, I've seen him grow up, and I'll guarantee you, it'll turn out okay if you do what he says to do. But what do you think he wants us to do? She said, I haven't got the foggiest idea what he wants you to do. But do it. Do it. Don't say, Jesus, what do you want us to do? Well, I want you to take these water pots and fill these water pots with water. And then don't wait till then to decide whether or not you're going to do it. Because the truth is, probably he's going to tell you to do something that's going to sound sort of foolish to you. And if you decide to sit in judgment on the validity of his commandments, you're in trouble. I mean, listen, folks, you know why I believe the commandments of God? Because I believe in the commander. Who is God? The issue today is not, do I believe this book? The issue is, do I believe the God who wrote this book? And if I believe the God who wrote this book, I believe this book. And if you begin to doubt this book, you will doubt its author. So I believe whatever God says is true. And so, if I read it here, it's true. Every line in this book doesn't have to go through my scrutinization so I can decide whether or not I believe. See, it's not this book I believe, it's the author of this book I believe, and because I believe in him, I believe what he says, and that's one of the problems in this world. We're trying to scrutinize the Bible to see if it's all okay. Well, if you get in love with the author and have confidence in the author, it'll all be okay. But you said there's some things in the Bible I don't understand. You don't have to understand them, just do them. I don't see how it's going to turn out right. You don't have to see how it's going to turn out, just do it. Why? Because he's the author. You see, that's the difference in faith and sight. Hers was faith. Theirs was sight. She said, whatsoever he doeth, saith, do it. They said, we want to see what it is. She said, don't worry about that. You do it. Faith is the knowledge of a person. Sight is the perception of a thing. I said, faith is the knowledge of a person. Faith is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. Faith is, I believe he's the virgin-born Son of God. Faith is, I believe he's omnipotent, that is, he's all-powerful. I believe he's omniscient, that is, he knows everything. I believe he's omnipresent, that is, he's everywhere. And I have such confidence in him, I believe anything he says is true, and anything he says do is best to do. And that's faith. They said, what do you think he wants us to do? She said, I don't know, but just decide to do whatever it is. Now, let me this morning echo what Mary said. please don't misunderstand me, but I've known him longer than she did. She knew him 30 years. I've known him 48 years. I'm not saying I've known him better, know him better than she did, but I've known him longer than she did. Please don't misunderstand me, but I probably said as many words to him as she did. Let me warn you. Let me warn you. Not Mary. This is me talking now, not Mary. Let me warn you. He'll tell you to do some of the strangest things you ever saw in your life. And I'll tell you the other thing, too. I can't figure him out. I've known him 48 years, and I can't figure him out. I've been trying to understand him as a preacher for almost 40 years. And I'll be honest with you, I can't make sense out of anything much he does until it's done. I mean, he told a fellow one time who was preaching in a great citywide campaign, thousands hearing and hundreds being saved, he said, I want you to go up to the desert. Now, that doesn't make sense. Nobody's unsaved in the desert. In fact, nobody's in the desert. And the guy goes up the desert, and there's one guy up there. Now, why would Jesus say, leave the multitudes and go to the one guy? I don't know why he did, and it doesn't sound normal to me, and it sounds sort of dumb to me, but he did, the fella did, and won that one guy to Jesus and got his name in the Bible. I've been trying to understand him all these years. I can't make sense out of what he's doing. But you take my advice, brother. You do what he said. You do what he says. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What seems right to you probably is wrong. What Mary is saying here, she's saying that she's giving us a way of life, a philosophy of life, a motto for a new year. She says, look, you heard what he said to me. I've reared the guy. I don't understand him any more now than I did 30 years ago. And if a day I know him more, I understand him less. But I guarantee you one thing, I've seen his track record, and you do what he says, it always turns out okay. Now that's your problem. You want to find out what God says to do before you decide if you're going to do it. Now what you ought to do is before he ever tells you what to do, you decide that and decide he knows best, and you decide whatever he says, you're going to do it. He says to you, quit your job. We have a doctor. Where's that doctor that came to go to our college? I want to do this with you one of these days. He said to a medical doctor, graduate of the University of Maryland Medical School, internal specialist of internal medicine out in Maryland, had his practice there for several years. All of a sudden, this strange Jesus that I don't understand, but whom I totally trust. He said to that doctor, I want you to preach. Can you imagine how strange that sounded to that doctor? Can you imagine how much more strange it sounded to that doctor's wife? Can you imagine how strange that doctor's wife sounded to the doctor when she heard what God had told the doctor to do? But he's got it made. He can just give her a shot and calm her down. Man. Makes everybody want to go to medical school, doesn't it? You'd take two shots for you, John. But, I mean, he said, I want you to be a preacher. What? Preacher? 12 years in training? Preacher? Yeah. Years in practice? Preacher? Yeah. Now, I say to that doctor, he's already done it, but I say to him, I know it sounded strange, but I say, most everything he's ever told me to do sounded strange. I have understood much he's ever told me to do. And I'll be quite frank with you, this Bible is full of things I can't understand. And if I were God, there are many things that I'd left out and some things I'd added. But I didn't write it. I'm not God. And he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And he knows what's best. And the best thing to do is forget what you think is best and whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just do it. That's it. That's the New Year's resolution. Just do what he says. But first, first to decide who he is and that he knows best. Don't wiggle it. See, your problem is you wiggle it says something to decide if you want to do it. Don't you do it. You decide he knows best, and whatever he's going to say, you do it. I can't make sense out of what he's doing. My advice is do what he says, and I'll guarantee you he knows what he's doing. It's strange. Listen, you check the relationship that Jesus had with his family. They always thought he was sort of strange. In the entire Bible, the entire New Testament story, you'll find that Jesus' family never understood him. His brothers and sisters, half-brothers, half-sisters, never understood him. His family never comprehended him. Why? He was omniscience living with frailty. He was perfection living with imperfection. He was perfect, good living with evil. He was purity living with impurity. He was all knowledge living with limited knowledge. He was God living with man. He was deity walking among flesh. Can you imagine how it'd be to have him as a brother? How would you girls, you 10, 11, 12-year-old girls like to have Jesus as a 12-year-old brother? Never fussed at his mama. You know, there's nothing quite as bad as fussing at somebody who wants to fuss back. I had a couple in my office one day. She was throwing a fit to him. Throwing a fit. I mean, right in front of me. And in front of God, too. And throwing a fit. I mean, she was telling him he's a liar and everything else. And after she had thrown a fit about 10 minutes, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. When I can't get a word in edgewise, ain't nobody going to get one in. And finally she got up and she grabbed him with the nap of his neck. You got a little scared of that, didn't you? And she grabbed him with the nap of his neck and she said, "Don't just sit there! Scream back at me!" Boy, he didn't. But can you imagine? They never quite understood him. Ah, but though they never understood him, every time he ever told them something, they saw it turned out right. Every time he ever said something that to them sounded sort of strange to do, they noticed it always turned out right. And Mary walks up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, they have no wine." And Jesus said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And she doesn't understand that. I mean, it would have been a perfect time for him to have said, "This is my mama. And I want to tell you how proud of her I am." Look, I hate to say this, but I don't understand why you didn't say that. That's what I'd have said. I'd have said, "Folks, I want you to meet somebody. This is my mama. Best mama a guy ever had. Virgin when I was born. Clean, decent, pure, and right. What a good mama. Now, I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus when I see him, why did you talk to your mama like that in front of all those people?" Now, I wouldn't have done it. And by the way, it doesn't sound right to me. I guarantee he is right. You sit with the house. Say, here's his mother walks up and he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? I don't understand it." Well, you don't have to understand it. All you got to do is have confidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and trust him. What he does is right. Don't put him on trial. He told me 26 and a half years ago to come to Hammond. That didn't make sense to me. Looks like to me they're going